Aquaculture and You, Creating a Sustainable Resource. A production of the University of Wisconsin Sea Grant Institute. A visit to Bell Aquaculture. Recirculating aquaculture and clean water fish. In previous episodes, we've spoken with scientists, educators, and retailers about the many aspects of aquaculture and its products. It's time to hear from a fish farming operation. So for this episode, I traveled with Moira Harrington, the communications manager at the University of Wisconsin Aquatic Sciences Center, all the way to Indiana to bring you the story of an exceptional accomplishment in aquaculture. In the early 1970s, when the Blue Revolution was beginning, John Bardach published a historic book that literally reintroduced the term aquaculture to a new generation. Titled Aquaculture, the work was a comprehensive review of all the methods and species that were currently being used for fish husbandry. The chapter on pikes and perches is quite short, however, noting that their production was limited to rudimentary pond rearing. He ends the chapter by stating, quote, "We do not foresee great expansion of the roles of any of the pikes or perches in aquaculture," end quote. Well, dedicated long-term scientific research and technological breakthroughs have proven Bardach's prediction wrong, and Bell Aquaculture in Indiana is here to prove it to you. Come with us now as we take you on a tour of the future of aquaculture as it's practiced today in the Great Lakes region.
My name is Norman McCowan, President and COO of Bell Aquaculture. We're here at the Bell Aquaculture Fish Farm in Albany, Indiana. It's where we raise yellow perch for the food industry. I'll have you sign in,
okay,
if you would. Get you a visitor badge. Great. We are an Indiana certified livestock producer. Also, we'll put on booties for our biosecurity. Today, you're going to see a vertically integrated farm, starting with the brood stock all the way through hatching, fingerling production, and grow out buildings. We will also end up at Red Key, Indiana, where we process, batter, bread the yellow perch and send that out to our customers. Vertical integration is the point where we are trying to control every aspect of the production in an indoor facility. It provides biosecurity to the end product. It has no heavy metals, no mercury. We don't use any antibiotics or hormones in our fish. It provides a very clean source of protein and complete traceability. So from a food security point, we know where our fish were last night, so to speak. We know where they came from, where they were born, their genetics, and everything about them. We're actually working through the process of the assessment of the Monterey Bay Aquarium, looking at what we do here at Bell to make sure that throughout our core business model, everything we do is sustainable, from our water reusage to the technology that we incorporate to the feed that we use and every aspect that we do business, making sure it's done in a sustainable manner. And it's very important to us. As a company, Bell, we started in 2005 with a mission to be a sustainable indoor recirculating aquaculture farm. We have partnered with some great industry leaders, also Dr. Steve Sommerfeld from the Freshwater Institute, a division of the Conservation Fund, who really understands how to reuse water and conserve water. When you look at our facility on the water usage, we recycle 99.7% on a flow basis within each and every tank. A lot of the funding that's provided through Sea Grant helps in many different ways, whether it be diet development, genetics, some of the hurdles that we would have with bacteria, some of the hurdles we would have with developing the right strains of broodstock.
It would seem that no individual aquacultural farm so heavily involved in production, you don't have the resources or the time to do that kind of basic research that benefits everyone in the industry.
Not only do we not have the time, the financial capability to do, for example, a lot of the genotype working that the USDA is doing on yellow perch, a lot of the testing with feed development, a lot of the equipment that it takes, not only would we not have the capital to do that, but the individuals that would understand that technology we couldn't afford in labor costs. So it's very important, and we've received very good support from the USDA, Wisconsin Sea Grant, and the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. On this farm, our plan is to produce 3,000 metric ton of yellow perch a year, just over 20 million fish a year. This building houses our brood stock, our research and development, and also does some early life stage hatchery work. We spent about 2 years looking at technology the industry could provide to grow yellow perch indoors and trying to understand which technology would work for these fish. They are very finicky eaters and require very clean water. Here we're in the broodstock building. We have an R&D department. It looks at developing the next generation of our broodstock and also developing feed, all the way from fry starter diets, working with the yellow perch, all the way through trial diets of feed that we would feed out in our grow buildings. So you're going to see several tanks here. We are actually sorting out broodstock, looking for specific characteristics of the fish that we want to develop within our next generation of broodstock. You're looking at a 2-year-old yellow perch that we have worked with UWM, Fred Binkowski, to develop.
How many fish are in this one tank? This is a large tank, about
800-gallon tank, and there's about 200 fish in this tank.
They're fascinating to watch.
So when you look at our early life stage hatchery, we take the female yellow perch and we strip the egg ribbon, we fertilize that with the male, and then we pin it up in one of our tanks at the facility here. And about 12 days later, those fish hatch out and we begin a feeding regime all the way through to harvest. One of the things that the yellow perch industry is lacking really is a nutritionally profiled feed that is profiled after the fish. That is something that we're working on, and I know Fred at UWM is working on as well. We've got to be aware that the whole industry will not be developed off of salmon and trout growers. And there's a lot of new species coming up, and there's going to be different methods to raise those species. If we want organic certified feed ingredients into our feed, is the industry there to support that? If we cannot chill kill fish, is the industry there to support the facilities to develop those standards? But currently, a lot of our buyers are not asking about organic certification, they're really asking about sustainability, our sustainable practices. Here you see a couple egg ribbons in this tank that are about 7 days.
They look like some scarves tied onto a metal grid under the water. Diaphanous scarves with little dots, which are the eggs.
Yes.
How many fish are going to emerge from the egg strands?
A typical egg strand has about 25,000 eggs in it, and about 85% of those are hatched. In aquaculture, they say you take care of the water, fish should take care of themselves. We're actually in the water lab now. We have a water chemist on staff. He does the monitoring of the water tank side where the fish are raised. He also monitors the water leaving our premises through our effluent treatment. All of our water runs through a man-made wetlands that was developed by JF New Environmental Management Company. The water leaving our premises is treated properly to meet the standards for the state of Indiana. You know, one thing we do use at Bell is salt. Whenever we do a transfer of our fish, we will salt that fish, raise the salinity in the tank, and that produces a heavier slime coating on the fish to protect it from any bumps it may take during the process of transportation. We pump our fish from one building to the next. We do not net the fish, so they move with the water from one tank to the next. They are very healthy and happy. We have a very low percentage of mortalities during this whole operation from start to finish.
Is this the wetlands here?
It looks like a wetland. All water flows out of our man-made wetland into this flood retention basin. It has become a very vibrant wetland for us in the meantime.
It looks like prairie plants. A lot of cattails, some willows. It looks very verdant and healthy. And you feel good about the food that's coming out of a place that's based in somewhere that's surrounded by beauty, really.
So we'll go into our row two building. We developed this building in 2008, and we found out since then that the round dual drain tanks work much better. Now we use this building as a fingerling production building. This building is approximately 40,000 square feet.
How many people work at this site?
We got 28 employees at the farm. Company-wide, we have 51 employees. What you're looking at in this tank here is about 90,000 2-gram yellow perch fingerlings. We'll leave these fingerlings in here for 60 days, then we'll move them into a grow building.
In this series, we've talked quite a bit about the cultural significance of yellow perch in Wisconsin as far as fish fries and all that. Is there a cultural tradition of eating yellow perch in Indiana?
There is not, except around the Great Lakes region. The studies that I have seen showed that the commercial fishing, even at the peak harvesting back in the early 80s, was all consumed within the first 50 miles of the Great Lakes. We now offer yellow perch 200 miles away from the Great Lakes. How are you?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Feeding like crazy.
They are? We use a semi-floating feed, and you can see it as it moves through the water column. The fish are eating that.
This is an extremely large and long building filled with fish tanks, 10 foot on a side by, looks to be 75 feet, one after the other.
And you know, we believe that technology plays a very large part of sustainability. When you look at the technology of the raceways, to grow a million fish, it takes approximately 260 horsepower to do that. When you look at the Cornell dual drain tanks, it only takes 80 horsepower to raise those same amount of fish. So it drives efficiency into the process. For a million fish in the Cornell dual drain design, it takes 20 gallons a minute. In a raceway technology, it takes 240. So we use a tenth of the water we used to with this new technology.
What do you think are some of the challenges for large-scale recirculating aquaculture for the future?
One of the challenges we see, the investors are asking, where are the success stories? And there's not a lot of those out there. So I think as we create more and more success stories, the financing and the capital investment is there to follow. I think it's also important for the indoor RAS facilities to work together to protect the industry. We want to make sure that we have success stories so we can promote the industry overall here in America. Eventually, we will have 6 acres of grow buildings, and that 6 acres of grow building will produce approximately what the commercial harvest is in Lake Erie. And Lake Erie has a surface area of 4,000 square miles, and the commercial harvesting in pounds of fish is approximately what we can do in 6 acres of grow building. That's how you're going to feed the growing population. Right now in America, we have an $11 billion trade deficit in seafood. I believe that in America, we have the engineers, we have the technology, we have the genetic strains of several different types of finfish. Easily, I believe, we could drop that trade deficit to nothing, to zero. And part of doing that is going to come through support through the USDA, through the Sea Grant program, to give these individual fish farmers, recirculating aquaculture, indoor facilities, support in developing that.
Also in the United States, we have an enforced regulatory system. You can be sure that if it says there are no contaminants, there aren't. And if it is a perch or a bluegill, you know it's that type of fish, correct?
That is correct. Anything that we say we do by proving it on paper. And we have records of that. And that's the importance of food security and being accountable to say what you do and do what you say. We're actually looking at Road 3. This building, we put fish in it in December, and we harvested our first tank of fish in April of this year. And we are currently expanding this building. The building you're currently looking at produces 450 metric ton of fish a year. We're adding on an expansion that will give us an additional 600 metric ton of production a year. When this building is complete, it'll do over 8.5 million fish a year. You can see this building here is a different scale and magnitude. We got 9 tanks in this building. They're 35 foot in diameter, 10 feet deep. And it is a full RAS facility. 99.7% of the water on a flow basis is recirculated back to the system.
These tanks look much more immense than 35 feet sounds.
Many people who have toured a facility think they're at SeaWorld or at an aquarium exhibit. The system contains a fluidized sand bed, CO2 stripping and LHO, with solids capturing devices. But really, the technology could be used for many species of fish. And I think as aquaculture expands in America, we're going to see more and more new species come to the forefront, delivered to the market.
So is this a good industry for rural areas that may be looking for new avenues for production?
In the Midwest, we see it as a very good region to develop aquaculture because we have access to water, we have access to energy at a very good rate. And that works well for an indoor facility.
And we're looking at a tank that is full of fish right now. I know that walleye have challenges being cannibalistic, but is that true about perch? And what are we looking at right here?
It is true about perch, not to the degree of walleye, but they are cannibalistic to some extent. And we just got to make sure we keep them fed at a way they're not hungry to eat each other. In this tank right here, there's about 180,000 fish. When you look at the poultry industry and how they developed their genetics over the last 50 years, we're really in our infancy on the finfish side. We've got a lot of work to do. The good thing is we're seeing, when you look at feed, we're seeing food conversion ratios of less than one versus all of our other sources of protein are anywhere from 1.5 up. Typically what you see in cattle is about a 4.5 to 1. In the pork industry, you see about a 1.5, 1.6 to 1. Chickens, anywhere from 1.2 to 1.6 to 1. And with some of the diets that we're doing trials now, you're looking at a 0.8 to 1 feed conversion ratio.
That's amazing.
When we look at the marketing of our product, we like to tell people that it is a indoor raised product, differentiated from farmed fish. We believe that we've taken the utmost precaution to provide fresh, clean water to these fish, to raise them indoors in a healthy and controlled environment, that they will not be accessible to any mercury, any heavy metals, any PCBs, any carcinogenic, any runoff from fields or other aspects where we have an unknown water source coming in. It's a clean water raised fish. When you look at the buyers of our product, the buyers that have walked through Bell and toured our facility and toured our processing and seen the care that goes into our product, from that day forward, they've been a buyer. They've never wanted to leave us. Price is not the contention point. They understand the quality of the product. So I think it's important for the indoor facilities to educate their customers, educate their buyers, educate the distributors on what we're trying to do here and create a new industry within America and grow this industry. When we talked to some individual restaurant owners, they had the same concern that farm-raised was bad. And that's why we immediately differentiated our product as an indoor-raised, controlled environment, clean water product. There's a lot of publicity out there where they want to lump everybody together, and that's not the case. And I think that's why it's important for indoor facility operators to network together to promote the industry, to bring integrity to the industry, to make sure that we do everything with the utmost standards. Thinking of the customer, thinking of our children eating that product when they sit down at home, and what we want them to eat and we want ourselves to eat.
We're here in Red Key, Indiana, the headquarters of Bell Aquaculture. Our processing facility is a 27,000 square foot facility. We are a FDA regulated facility under a HACCP plan. We process our own yellow perch, but we also process some bluegill and some Florida pompano, some coho salmon, and some hybrid striped bass as well. The farm is zoned agriculture, and here in Red Key, where we're at, is part of the industrial park, and cutting fish is an industrial process where you need industrial zone land. And this is not only the processing and the headquarters, but we also do our liquid organic fish-rich fertilizer here as well. That's made out of heads and tails and things of that nature.
So you're using every part of the fish?
Yes, and the last part of the fish that we're trying to use right now in developing is the scales, where we actually make or extract collagen from them. Then we would use all of the remains of the fish at that point.
We developed this plant to bring tours in to show distributors, restaurant owners, and chefs their product actually being cut We have windows along this hallway, that way they can see their product being processed.
Are you working with any large national markets or distributors?
Yeah, we're actually working with Sysco's, a great customer and a great partner, and really understands the value of our product. So it's been a very good relationship with Sysco's. It is an automated line. We got three pieces of machinery here, one that does the scaling, one that does the deheading, then the fillet machine, and then we have trimmers, and those trimmers will just verify the quality of our product, make sure there's no bones, scales, or fins on the product as it makes its way into the IQF.
So it's automated at the front end, and then they have people who are making sure the product, it looks like we've got eight, what did you call them?
Trimmers?
Trimmers, yeah.
One of the things the restaurants like about our products is the consistency of size. That way they can control their food cost by the number of pieces they serve on a plate. We do our best to make sure that we standardize that size with the end user in mind.
IQF, what is that?
An IQF is a individually quick frozen fillet. We send all of our fillets through a liquid nitrogen freezer. That IQF will lock in that freshness of that fish right away. It instantly freezes each individual piece. And we can do that with and without breading on. Everything also runs through a metal detection. That way we can verify that there are no metal from the automated processing equipment in the product. And here you see the IQF and the fillets on the conveyor working their way through and coming out the other end frozen. Going through the metal detection and up the conveyor into the packaging room. I think one of the design elements of this building that we do like is the windows all the way down the processing so you can see your product. And I know the chefs really enjoy watching their product being ran. Also have a QC lab. A QC lab, that way we can do any type of microbial testing. We also eat product from all of the batches of fish that we run through. So we have a small kitchen here as well where we'll taste product and just verify the quality of it. We offer a liquid fertilizer that is an OMRI certified product. OMRI is the Organic Material Review Institute. We ship it out of our shipping office here. It's made from the byproducts of the day with the home consumer in mind. I've used this personally on my tomatoes and got the greatest crop around I know.
You seem to know a lot about perch. What are some things that people might not know about perch?
Native to the Great Lakes. Also, there are perch up and down the East Coast. There is commercial fishing of yellow perch in Lake Erie, along with the white perch. History shows that there was another variety of perch in the Great Lakes at one time as well, early on. Talking with the commercial fishermen, years ago, there was another variety that they used to commercially fish out of Lake Erie, the coast of Lake Erie in Ohio. They called it a black perch. So they would commercially harvest a black, a white, and a yellow perch. Today, there's only the yellow perch and the white perch that are harvested out of Lake Erie. Some of the greatest genetic strains of yellow perch are on the East Coast, up and down from Maryland to North Carolina. There's a lot of great genetic strains of yellow perch on that East Coast as well. That's part of our breeding program that we use some of those genetic strains. Part of my fascination or love for fish is when I was very young growing up on the Wabash River and trout lining for the flatheads that would come up out of the Mississippi River to spawn in the Wabash. And as a youngster, I had to seine minnows and keep those minnows alive to be able to bait my trout lines. And that's really the beginning of where I began to learn fish husbandry. Is how you take care of minnows and to catch these larger fish. And from there, it developed into a love for Japanese koi and African cichlids and being in the pet trade industry. And all of this was my hobby as I worked in the automotive industry. Now I come to work every day and it's what I see as a hobby and not really work.
Any warnings for people who are playing around with garden ponds?
If you ever decide to put in a garden pond, just realize that your love will so increase that you will never stop building, all the way from a small pond to a large pond. It's something that will capture you and will only increase as time goes on with it.
We're nearing the end of our series now, and while it might be nice to close with the inspiring American success story of Bell Aquaculture, there may be some listeners out there who are itching to find out if they too might be able to get into this promising field. The final episode will therefore be for them, and is appropriately titled, So, You Want to Be a Fish Farmer? And, as always, thanks for listening. This recording was produced by Chris Bocast for the University of Wisconsin Sea Grant Institute, 2012.